It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Long time ago. Ooh, Alabama Piping Supply.
I know because I'll be 1 year older than that.
Yep. And Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantastic. A seafood shed that is coming back out of the ground.
Yep. Yep.
New venue, new ventures. Ed's will be unbelievable.
Oh, you know it will be.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what's going on there? I think they're going to open the Pasta House, which is at Panini Pete's Sandwich Shop in the in Daphne area there, the downtown area. Are they calling it the Quarters? French Quarter or something? I don't know. I don't know anything about Fairhope. Anybody out there knows, give us a call, let us know.
I try not to go on that side of the bay very often.
I don't either, you know. I might decide to stay over there or something, man, so I had to be careful.
They say it's nice. I might like it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that.
Yeah. But they are. They're opening that pasta restaurant, and they're making their own pasta and making their own pizza. They have pizza there as well. So, just be, I think, afternoon opening. I don't think they're open in the mornings or anything like that. So.
Right.
But I don't know how all that works. But also they're progressing along with the old Edge facility and making changes now and moving walls and putting up walls. And we're not going to recognize it.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
That's good.
And we appreciate them working with us as sponsors over the years, even when Ed and Barbara had it. But now they're –
we've had the same group of sponsors for quite a while.
Panini Pete's foundation is kicking.
There you go. But we do appreciate all our sponsors. UJ and Alabama Pipe and Ed, they've been with us for quite a while, and do appreciate them letting us come on. But anyway, I hope everybody had a good week. Weather's warmed up a little bit. Don't get used to it. It's supposed to get cold again. So,
I don't know. If you don't like the weather, just wait a day or two. It'll change.
Yeah, I know.
It'll drop 40 degrees.
You mentioned on the way in, it was starting to get a little chilly out there.
Yeah, it was
right
chilly
now,
on my wigs out there with these sharp ridges a while ago. I should put some jeans on.
Yeah.
You know?
That 80 degree weather we had today, it fooled you. But, it's one of those things. You got to be on top of it.
I got to get my bib overalls back out here. So, I can wear them.
Mm-hmm. But I know everybody's going to be, coming in for AC concerns and all that. We're fighting everything on supplies, just like everybody else in the industry and in the world for that matter. Our 1234YF machine went down on us here about a month ago. And luckily we had ordered a new machine back a few months back, and they were telling us it was going to be like 6-8 months before we got one. And luckily we got it in last week because we're getting close to warm weather, and still ain't got the part for our other machine.
That's true with a lot of your parts and all for the aftermarket, not only just UJ, but all the dealers are having problems trying to get pieces and all. I know some dealers that's got cars parked on the lot that waiting for repair parts to arrive, and some of them in there 2 or 3 damn months.
I mean,
come on, you bought a car to drive, not sit parked at the dealership.
The strangest one, I guess, is the you would think, modules, ECMs, TCM,
right?
Engine control, transmission control, brake control modules, which we're having issues with that at times. But the hardest part we had to get was Cadillac converters.
Really?
We had a fleet of like 4 or 5 trucks that got vandalized and the converters stolen off of them. Just put the last one on, and this happened at the end of last year.
Yeah. Really?
So we just put the last one
Four months?
Yeah. So it's
– Damn it, boy.
Yeah. But they've been on order the whole time. Yeah. Just can't get them. Yeah, so
well,
luckily we were able to get them fixed and gone, but
That's an area in our society that is it's like our drug scenario. These guys are the and probably has something to do with drugs are cutting these converters off of all these vehicles. They like to cut them off of these trucks and stuff because they're you know usually
jacked up a little bit.
Yeah, they're higher so they can get under it. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know those crackheads, they're pretty skinny most of the time, so they can usually.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know, them suckers scanning bones anyway. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But you know that's why they use a little wormy dude to get
right,
under there.
Right.
In a skill saw, you know, with not skill saw, but a saw with right. a battery on it. You know.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like outside here, they left a couple of blades out there, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm sure there should be some fingerprints on them. You know, they don't think about stuff like that, you know. You know, they got the converter off of our remote van here, our Mercedes transit van
yeah.
here at the station, you know. Dang believable. But talking with the guys at McDonald's Muffler Shop, I mean, it's a everyday event.
Oh yeah,
and U-Haul trucks and things of that nature, Penske mm-hmm. trucks, the fleets yep. that they have, they're high. I mean, people are you know they probably taking their own creepers or whatever had on the yard and rolling around,
right?
Being rolling from truck to truck.
Yeah, I mean, I saw and off of the converter thing, but it was on the news a while back that the dual rear axle, dual rear wheels on the axles. They were actually deflating and dismounting the outer tire and stealing the tires off the back of some of the trucks. Yeah. They left the wheel there. They just took the tire.
Took the tire off of the rim.
Took the two outer tires. That way they didn't have to block it up or anything. They just deflated and took it, spun it off the wheel. Took off with the tires. Did it on every truck they had. yeah. They get
you know what?
They get creative.
That's one of they just need to hire somebody like me to sit around out there at night when they don't sleep at night anyway. They sleep in the daytime.
Yeah.
You sit around out there at night with you know like an AK or something or a shotgun with some birdshot in it, you know, and you know, take the plug out of it so you'll have more than three, four, five rounds.
yeah.
You know, and then fill them full of lead. They won't be walking off from over there.
Yeah. Of course, the only thing I disagree with on that is the birdshot part.
But, oh, you won't double you know? You won't double out.
they liable to get up if you.
Oh
you
yeah,
with the birdshot, they liable to get up.
Well, I'd like to use birdshot in my shotgun at the house because if he comes in my house, I'm going to shoot him in house or out of the house. You know,
right? You just don't have to do that much.
I might have to drag him in there. Well, I mean, you never know. But right. I don't want to have to replace all the walls and everything right. with a birdshot. I figure I could just replace the sheetrock.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, get them sick, them Leroy.
Well, the nice thing about that 12 gauge is if you just stand in the hallway and just shoot down the hallway, you're going to hit everything in the hallway.
Don't so, you know?
Yeah, you ain't going to miss it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shoot down the hall.
Yeah.
But that's all right. They come in my house, all the sirens and all the whistles and stuff starts going off and going crazy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And they hear them.
That's right.
They hear those 12 gauges with two or three people in the house. What's got them 12 gauges?
They got any sense they're going to be getting shot
in their bedrooms. Yeah. I don't think they'll stay there once they hear those.
Racking that.
Yeah, you hear that 12 gauge rack?
Yep. Looks like we got a caller on line. Caller, you with us?
Let's do it.
Hello? Hello, caller.
Hey, yeah. You got Jesse on tonight, Tom?
He's supposed to call me. Matter of fact, he's supposed to call me now, 8:15.
Well, I'm disappointed in you. This is Rick Nobles.
Oh, my Lord.
I was with you the other day. I was waiting for you to get that microphone.
Man, that sucker wouldn't let me have it. He said I talk too much. And he liked
to
talk.
Are you
for real? Yeah. I stayed up there 4 hours.
You let that little fella beat you out of $300 for real.
Well, kind of, excuse me, pissed me off, but I hate to have to whip him in front of everybody, you know.
I'll see what I can do about that for you.
I will be back, I'll tell you what, we'll put it off to the next race y'all have up there. I'll say, what, you got one in October or sometime?
October, yes, sir.
I'll be there, and we'll just have to, if you have to, we'll hog tie him, and we'll take the mic away from him.
And we'll sweeten the pot. How about that?
We can do that. We can do that, brother.
Yeah. guarantee you. Now, we can do that. We'll sweeten that pot.
Yeah, well, I got to.
I'd love to see him down on the ground, somebody holding a knee on him.
Well, now, if the pot is right, we can do that part, too. you know, I thought he was going. I thought some of those old racers that come up there that didn't like the lights and stuff was going to do that any damn way. So.
Time or two. We did have a couple of them that got to be a little stupid, you know.
Oh, well, hey, you know, they were in good company with us up there.
Put on a good show, though, really.
Yeah, they did. They did. He's going to give us a call in a little while and give us some results. So appreciate you giving us a call, and we'll make sure we'll catch up. All right, brother man. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye. Thanks, sir. But we're going to sound like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I didn't understand till I was grown why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home instead of running around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 343-0106. But we've actually got a couple callers online here. We got... let's see. First up, I think we got Jesse. And Jesse, you with us? Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Jesse. You on board, buddy? Jesse.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I got you.
All right. Yeah. Give us a little bit of insight about that race we had at Attaboy there Saturday. Well, actually, y'all ran Friday night and Saturday. But, man, what a awesome group of cars.
With 64 gassers from all over the country. We talked about it earlier, and I actually went back through the tech cards and wrote down 12 states.
Dang, that's awesome.
Had one come across the border out of Canada, a couple other long ones. Actually, it's amazing. We had two from Iowa and two from Illinois.
Right, right. I saw those.
And the other southern states. But a total of 12 states represented, so that was real nice.
Well, you know, one of the things that surprised me, Jesse, was how fast those cars were running. I didn't expect them to get down into fives, but they did.
Yes, sir. I don't remember exactly. It's usually anywhere from 10 to 12 we'll have that runs into fives. Two of the fastest ones was a 55 Chevrolet with a blown Ford in it. Went 561, and Dan Moon with that beautiful red Corvette went 561. So, it was real good. You know, a lot of people are just totally surprised, like you said, that, we have a big, big group of cars from 60, to the 640 range.
Right, right.
Range. And we naturally aspirated, the kids come over and want to know how much nitrous we spray in, and it really blows your mind to see them big old heavy cars and put a show on. And wow, how about that Greg Cook with that four-door Chevrolet 58 Chevrolet Dale Ray popping the wheels in three gears with that.
I know that. I saw that. That was unbelievable. Amazing, I thought he was going to turn over.
Yeah, but let me give you a quick rundown of the initial program, then I'll answer any questions, Tom.
All right, you can do that. We got Glenn Tolliver on. He's listening on board here with us, too.
Yeah.
Sir?
Glenn Tolbert.
Tolliver.
Oh, okay. Well, Glenn was one of our winners. He won his class.
Awesome.
We started out the racing deal with a little bogus backup run, and Chad Etheridge got out the car, and April is backup lady for several years. We had a proposal there on the starting line. Everybody got a big kick out of that, and that was a lot. So congratulations to Chad and Etheridge. Chad Etheridge and April on their wedding coming up. And then on a sad note, the race was dedicated to a guy we last about 3 weeks ago, Stephen Rawls. We lost one of our racers in a tragic accident, so we dedicated the race to Stephen Rawls, and we want to keep his wife, Sharon, and the Rawls family in our prayers.
Yes.
They sure need it now.
Right, right.
And one other thing, they distributed some of Stephen's ashes at the track, and then also we had a secondary part of that, that after our last race, tragically, Ronnie Dean lost his 19-year-old daughter, Meadow, which was one of our first little bug girls, and she just loved it and loved it and was such an inspiration to the other girls. And Ronnie had a little memorial and dropped some ashes at the side of the rail of the starting line where she took her last pictures at. She loved taking her pictures at the races also. And one other thing, and then I'll hush. Dan Tackett, a lot of people knows Dan. He's one of our gasser racers out of the Gulfport area. Many racers and rat rod, hot rodder builders knows Dan Tackett. He flew out to Texas to have a heart operation, and they did some stents on him, some pretty serious work. But I did get the messages that Dan's doing super well, and all his stuff was a success. So we're proud of that, too.
Well, that's awesome.
I'll hush and listen.
All right. Now, how about giving me a rundown of your racers? Who won? You got
the actually, the sheets of all the detailed stuff is on our page, Southern Outlaw Gassers, on the Facebook page.
All right.
And Chantel was asking, you know, who won what and to report in. There's a pretty good list on there. The overall main winner of the big event was Shelby Berard in the little Nova Dose, the black Nova.
Yeah.
And had the big yellow and red letters, Nova Dose. He was
right.
The overall grand winner, and got him a gold cup and belt. And other than that, like I said, the winners and that is listed on our page.
Okay.
So we had class runs Friday night with an overall winner for trophies, and then the big runs all was Saturday for the gold cup.
Right. Okay. Now, I noticed the gold cups that you had were awesome trophies. Who sponsored those for you?
You know, our motto in our group is it takes all us little French fries to make a happy meal. And people,
yeah, but on your part of it, you're short a few.
People want to donate $50 or $100. And the most I take from anybody is $220 for the shirts. We're not going to get into a big money deal and learn what we got going on, Tom.
Right.
But the $50 puts a side, three sides is $150, and that's what those cups cost. I got receipts. We ain't doing this for no kind of profit. But those nice trophies are three people, and they all got the advertising little plaques on three sides at $50 a lick. The same for the trophies and the same for the track.
Okay.
Plaques. And I can tell you right now, we had 14 gasser trophies Friday night.
Right.
And we had 10 trophies, winner and runner-up for the other classes, and the exact same. So when you start buying, 38 trophies, at $45, $50 a piece.
Right,
it's
right.
It's expensive.
Hell
but
yeah.
It's all handled by donations and sponsors of people and businesses that likes us.
Well, that's cool.
That's how we do that.
That's cool. All right, well, give us a little bit of insight now. We keep talking about gassers and gassers and gassers. What the hell is a gasser class? How do y'all define that?
Well, the gasser deal started back in the 60s, Tom, and what it was, after people got out of the military and wanted to run their hot rods, and just like all racers and buddies on the street, and somebody wanted to be faster than somebody else. And a lot of times that required, when they got to the drag strip, they really got serious in 55 and 56.
Right.
And for the guys that wanted to do it with them little cars, they couldn't get but such a size engine in there to try to fit, cylinder heads and big headers and all that. So
right.
Some guy figured out, hey, just get all this interior and these front-end springs out of the way. Let's just cut all that off and put us a straight axle out of the truck under there, and it totally opened up the front end of the car to put the big, back then,
right,
you know, they run Cadillac motors.
Right, yeah, I was going to break that up,
That's right.
But I noticed
that was the big thing, so they had to have a class for it, you know, stock and super stock type stuff, and they were too modified, so they started calling it a gasser type class, which is basically a highly modified car. They came up with rules to where the guys were setting them up so high in the front end, and what that did is it gave it weight transfer to the rear tires that was hard and the tracks wasn't very good. So they needed that, you know, nose high attitude to help with weight transfer.
Right.
That's why they ended up so high in the front. Well, then guys got crazy with that, like always, and they come up with a rule that said, I'm not sure, but I'm almost positive they couldn't be any higher than 16 inches, you know, off the crankshaft center line.
Okay.
And they allowed them to move the engine back, but only 10% of what the wheelbase was. So, you know, a 100-inch car could be moved back 10 inches.
Okay. Okay. All right. But when that transferred weight, too. But I know that there was a lot of people asking me, said, well, okay, well, you went to see gassers. What the hell is a gasser? Everything has got gas of some sort on it. So I said, well, that's one of the things that I wanted to ask Jesse.
Yeah. And really, I want to let people that's listening know this now. Gassers was not required to have a straight axle. That's just been a, you know, an uneducated myth throughout the years.
Right.
The gasser class was just a modified car that couldn't run in stock or other classes. Like modified production is a cool class, Tom.
Yeah.
But you know, modified production is just that. You got to run production parts.
Yeah.
You know, the Chevrolet heads, the Chevrolet intake manifold.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the guy that wanted to put the Cadillac and Oldsmobile engines in them,
right,
really modify them, and you could actually take a car that was in class, pull the bumper off of it, and claim it as a gasser and run in the gasser class.
Right.
But a lot of the cars still had the regular A-arm suspensions under them. Mr. Aubrey, anybody you know that's been around racing long knows Mr. Aubrey Paget Big Iron, 444, and he's been running since 1958. He still runs with us today.
Right, sure does.
Yep, he wasn't able to be out there last weekend. He had a little flutter in his heart, and they actually took him in and did a stint, but he's doing real great. I think Mr. Aubrey's 86.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Competitive.
All right, listen, Jesse.
Replicated big iron car.
Jesse, hold on a minute. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
No problem.
All right, buddy.
Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began to understand there's something women.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions? Give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We still have Jesse online, and we got Glenn holding for us, but... Jesse, back with us.
Yep, okay. Tom, Kevin, keep up the good work. And unless y'all got another question, I'll get off, and hopefully some of our racers will call in and tell you about their experience last weekend and spread the word and let people know we're going to be back the middle of October for our fall race. GBO 16 is like October the 15th and 16th, okay?
All right, now that's going to be at Atmore as well.
Yes, sir. All our GBOs is Atmore. That's my home track.
That's a home track. Okay, I was wondering if y'all...
Only, you know, people's like, man, won't y'all do this all the time?
Yeah.
But it's just special to us. We do it in the springtime when the weather's nice for us, and in the fall it's super nice, the latter part of the year, and that just makes it special for us. So
all right.
We do two of them a year, in the spring opening and then in the fall, so it's real, real nice.
Well, you might as well get ready when you have the next race of that, boy. I'm coming after you.
Yes, sir. I'll be looking for you, buddy.
But, all right,
hey,
the money.
It's all good. You and Kevin do a great job. So we'll listen to Mr. Glenn. And by the way, in E-Gas, he won his class Friday night, so we're real proud of Mr. Mighty Mouse from over there in Spanish Fort, Alabama, okay?
All right, buddy boy. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, now we got Glenn online. Glenn, you with us?
Yeah.
I know we kept you holding there for a while, but...
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could tell, you know, when you get motor mouth on there, you can't get a word in edgewise. Hell, I couldn't even get him to shut up so we could take a break.
But radio man, he tells it like it is, though.
Don't he? Hey, you know, but you know, all them Ford guys are that way. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Ford guy.
That Mighty Mouse is a Ford, yeah.
Mr. Tom, I want to thank you for coming to my pit Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed seeing you, buddy.
But the main thing I wanted to do was congratulate Jesse and all the track personnel, everybody involved, and all of our sponsors.
Right, right.
Thank you so much for helping us make this a success.
And
that's about all I really wanted to
That's
say.
Fine, Glenn, but that was certainly a success, and it was unbelievable. I talked with Larry and Donald yesterday afternoon, and they said it was a fabulous race. They're looking forward to having you guys back again.
I tell you what, Larry and Miss Donna, they are super good people.
They are. They're great people there. We enjoy working with them up there and promoting their track. Glenn, it's a pleasure to talk with you again, buddy. Have a good one. I'm glad you won your class there at EGAS.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Tom. I appreciate that.
Y'all have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye. Yeah, it's always a good event. And, they're smarter than we are because, you know, they go up there and race in the – spring and the fall. What? You know, I race all summer long, you know, when it's 112 degrees out. And
most all those guys are my age, Kevin. We can't take all that crap.
I understand. I can't do what I used to. Used to go down there in the middle of the day by myself, no tent, no fan, no nothing.
What's all that stuff you're talking about?
Working on the car by myself.
With that open old double axle trailer I had, and hauled it with that 67 Chevrolet pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, guys, these guys have these high-dollar racks up on their trailers and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. We had one built with wood on top of my 67 right. short wheelbase pickup truck.
I tell you.
And sometimes when I got ready to watch a race, there wasn't even damn room on my rack
right.
to get up there.
Had to clear everybody off to get up there.
I throwed a fit one night, started throwing stuff up there, and everybody started, you know, what's going on? What's going on? I said, it's my truck, and it's my damn rack, and I can't even watch my own car. Get the hell off my truck.
Yep.
I didn't have no problem for a while.
Right. Then they forget.
So. Yeah. Then next, about right. 2 weeks later, they forgot. They was all back up there again.
Yep. But I'm sure everybody's noticed the gas prices have changed a little bit over the last, week or two.
Do you have any suggestions on things that we might do to maybe get a little bit better gas mileage? I experimented, as we've been talking about, the fact that I did go to Atmore. And I experimented with some different kind of gas under the same circumstances, and I was surprised. But go ahead and see what you
know,
got.
You know, if you do the 100% gasoline instead of the ethanol mix, it'll get a little better gas mileage. I noticed one station today, it was only 10 cents a gallon difference.
Really?
And
I hadn't thought about that. That's true. It was about 40-50 cents higher, but now.
Yeah. You know, if they'll keep it like that, it's almost worthwhile to run the
100%
gasoline.
Well, now, wait a minute, Bub. We can't run that straight gas without ethanol in it in our later model cars, can we?
What?
What will the tune-up that's in there electronically, will it work with that?
It'll adjust for it.
It will adjust?
It'll adjust for it.
In other words, how far back down that food chain of cars would you say they will adjust?
I mean, all of them, really.
All of them? Okay. All of them. That's cool.
Yeah, so they're fine, you know. Their stretch has always been getting above that 10% ethanol mark. So you go back to 100% gasoline, it's fine. It likes it. Yeah. So, you know, that helps. You know, check your air pressure, your tires. Make sure your car is serviced. You know, the basics.
Do you slow down
a little bit. Yeah.
Do you recommend a couple of pounds more air pressure in the tires or not?
Don't get crazy with it. You know, if you wanted to add a couple pounds, and a couple, I mean two.
Right, yeah, 2 pounds, okay.
Over what
So if it's supposed to be, and where are they going to find this information as to what tire pressure is supposed to be in their car?
If you open your driver's door, there's always a sticker in there for your tire information.
Right.
But it will give you the tire size and the tire pressures that's recommended. And you know, when I say check your air pressures and that kind of stuff, you know, the factory recommended pressures are fine.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
They will do fine. So but when you start getting lower, then actually the tire has to run faster to run the same speed. That's how the older cars, actually, when they first come out with a low tire warning message.
You want to explain that to our listening audience?
I never really understood it except exactly myself, but it actually is the tire gets flatter, the profile is shorter,
right.
And it has to go from the has to run faster to run the same distance.
Center of the axle to the actual heights of or
to the actual
contact point yeah. of the road.
Mm-hmm.
If you run it a little bit, 2 or 3 or 4 pounds lower of air, it's going to be a shorter distance.
Right.
So that's
right.
Meaning the tire's collapsing a little bit more on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, it doesn't get the same
right.
miles per
right.
gallon. Now, try this one on for size. I normally run Costco gas or Walmart gas, whatever I can find. And with the computers and stuff, all that I have on my car, I like to play with the miles per hour and the miles per gallon.
Right.
And put it on a cruise. Now, if we were in north of Birmingham, up in the mountains where you've
right.
got all that, a cruise control will cost you gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
But down here on the flatlands, you know, if you drive from here to New Orleans, here to Gulfport, here to Biloxi, to casinos.
Well, you're heading east or west. I mean,
yeah.
everything's pretty flat.
Right. And yeah. Pensacola. And I like to run to Pensacola because I do go get my lotto tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found that if I ran my car, put it on cruise at 75, 76 miles an hour, that's like 2,050, it's between 2,000 and 2,100 RPMs.
Right, right.
My gas mileage is somewhere around 21.5
mm-hmm.
to 21.6 average.
Yep.
What running the other gases.
Right.
Now, I used Shell gas
mm-hmm.
this past weekend.
Right.
And I did the same identical thing. I picked up 2.5 miles per gallon.
Right.
Running
right.
the Shell gas.
It matters. I mean, it does matter where you get your gas from. Not all gas is the same.
Right.
Top-tier gas is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to all be the same. But, you know, experiment. Pay attention. Drive it the same. One of our listeners just sent a message that my Cadillac CTS V6 with 89 octane gets the best fuel economy with that
right,
octane
right.
fuel in it. And, you know, different octane, higher octane doesn't necessarily mean more,
mm-hmm.
but if the car needs it, then it does because it's not having to pull timing out and everything to keep it from
right,
detonating.
Right.
So, but beyond that 89, you're probably not going to gain any mileage
right.
know, because it doesn't need any more than that. So,
well, then my sister's got a Chevrolet SUV. I'm sure it's somewhere 7, 8, or 9, or 10 here and mm-hmm. there. I don't exactly know. But I know that if she runs the 89 gas,
mm-hmm.
That it's a little bit higher, but she gets 3 or 4 miles per gallon more on that ride.
Right, right. And it makes a difference. It really does, you know. And
you get 3 or 4 miles per gallon on a 10, 15-gallon, you know, vehicle, 18-gallon vehicle.
Yep. I know our Equinox, my wife drives an 18 Equinox, and I have gotten as much as 41 miles a gallon out
Woo.
Of it. Running about 72 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
If you run 80,
mm-hmm.
it's going to get about 33.
There you go.
So,
mine will drop 3 or 4 miles per gallon if I get up to 80, 81, 82
right.
miles an hour.
Right.
The car will.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, depends on what you want. You
right.
know, if you want to get there a little quicker,
yep.
yeah, it ain't going to be that much quicker.
No,
but,
no. But, if there's any red lights involved where you're going, you're probably
right.
going to catch whoever passed you anyway.
Right, right. So, you know, it's just a matter of if you get out there and play with it and, you know, maximize your fuel economy versus how fast you're going. You know, if you can kind of hang with traffic and
mm-hmm.
not be speeding up and then slowing down because someone's slower in front of you, all
well,
that kind
you,
of stuff. It matters, you know.
And running up to a red light or a stop sign, and then all of a sudden applying the brakes, and then when it changes or it's okay for you to go, and then boom, you know, you're just about spinning the tires, you accelerating so hard. But, you know, that's when you're burning a lot of your gas.
Right.
If I'm
right.
driving along in traffic 45 miles an hour and I'm trying to drive ahead of myself, I like to look a half a block or so down the road. And mm-hmm. if I see a light down there and it's starting to change, I just get off of my gas.
Right.
And I just coast up there. I don't mm-hmm. hardly touch my brakes.
Right.
And right. then when it, you know, when the light changes, I gradually get into it and drive off.
Right.
That's where your gas mileage is at.
It is. It is. I mean, it's all about the taking off and slowing down and letting it coast when you can. So, you know, there's ways to get better mileage. And we had a listener want to know where that station is that had the pure gasoline. And it's the service station on Airport Boulevard just west of Baker High School on
okay.
Airport. They're almost next door to Baker. Yeah, I stop in there. I go by it every day on the way to work. Yeah.
Well, now, you know, going down Cottage Hill, Azalea Road, by where Burma Road comes into Azalea there, before mm-hmm. you get to government, that little station there on that corner usually has that straight fuel, too.
Right.
And
because right.
I usually go there to buy my fuel for my weed eater and stuff like that and a lawnmower.
Right.
Because I don't like to put that other fuel in there.
Okay. Yeah, good. We do have a caller online, but we're coming up to a break here pretty quick. If you'll hold on, we'll get to you after this next break. But, yeah, it's gas prices. They're not done going up.
No, yeah, no. So. But, you know, I'd like for the person that's asking about that gas, if they find it and put it in the car, check it and see what mm-hmm. the difference is in the miles per gallon. And how that service goes for them, and give us a call next week and let us know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This ain't going away from us overnight.
This is not going to go away. You know, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Not until some people start making some changes and some other people get out of
drill, baby,
places
drill.
They're not supposed to be. But
drill, baby,
anyway.
Drill.
They,
drill,
yeah.
baby, drill.
Yeah, we got to get to where we're you know, sufficient on our own with what we're supplying, and that'll help the prices.
I don't want to buy no damn gas from Russia. I don't want to buy it from Iran, and I damn sure don't want to buy it from Venezuela. So come on, let's do
we
something. Drill, baby, drill. You know that we got enough.
We got it.
We have enough oil underground it to last us until 2041.
Yeah, no, I'll be way gone by then.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
so yeah. Anyway, we're gonna take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Climbing the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Ramick, along with Tom Clashing. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But Tom, I think we got a caller online here with us. Caller, are you with us?
I am. How are y'all tonight?
We're doing good. How are you?
We'll know when we get through with the show.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, look, with gas prices getting high like they are, come up with ways to save money, I'm looking at dating women close to my house.
But, yeah, but you got to find one within walking distance, man. What you talking about?
Well, maybe walking distance and who can catch a chicken, too.
But you sound like my beady-eyed friend.
Yeah.
I could catch a cold though. I caught a cold out there.
Oh, you caught a damn cold, but you can't catch a bag of beans. Beans.
Yeah. He stopped him, but he didn't catch him.
He stopped the ball. It didn't get away from him.
Yep.
I've been looking at getting away from all these long distance relationships and just date women closer to home.
Yeah.
Just save on that gas, you know.
From the looks of your Facebook page, you move around a lot to different restaurants all over within 100 miles of Mobile. So,
I may have to cut that back, too.
You might have to cut that back and just start eating at Bob's more, because you could walk over there.
Hey, I can walk there and crawl back. I picture.
Now you can crawl back, you know, have them little bodies for you, toddies for your body at lunch. Bad old beverages. Is this the fabulous Mike from Mike and Stu?
I'm blessed to live in a part of town where I can just not walk to all the restaurants I enjoy down here. And like I said, I walk to them and crawl back.
That's right. That's right.
That's, yeah, that's the reason your damn knees are always scarred up and bloody.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you giving us a call, buddy. You got an awesome show now.
To you guys.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate you listening.
Keep drilling. Drill
yep.
more.
Yeah.
Drill, baby, drill.
Absolutely.
Drill, baby, drill.
Let's see. We got to call a listener that sent us a text. Please explain the tow haul button on my 2015 GMC Sierra.
There you go. When, that's a good one. Good
when
call.
When pulling my boat, it causes my truck to run at a higher RPM. Is that okay?
Right.
And yes, it is. And normally what it's doing is it's letting the motor stay in its power band better. It also lets the torque converter stay locked up harder so it doesn't slip as much. And to do that and not give you a real luggy, you know, no power feel, it lets the RPMs come up a little higher, all in an effort to give you a better towing experience, plus keep the transmission from overheating because it's lugged down and really dragging
right.
on the converter and everything else.
Does it also stop it from going in overdrive?
No, it goes in overdrive.
It will? Okay.
It just waits a little longer. So basically it you know, like I used to do when I was pulling race car with my truck with an old 700 overdrive.
Right.
Everybody says never, ever, ever pull one in overdrive. I pulled all over the country in overdrive, but I would.
Yeah, but you the car doctor.
I waited until I got 75, 80 mile an hour before I let it go
in
overdrive.
Oh, okay. Now we know. Yeah.
And the, if you're coming up on a hill, and it downshifts, I'd leave it in drive until it would downshift by itself. And then mm-hmm. I'd reach over and I'd pull it down in drive. I'd crest the hill and I'd hold it and drive until it leveled back out, and then I'd put it back in overdrive.
Mm.
So it doesn't shift into overdrive under a strain.
Well, that, you know? What you're trying to do is salvage a transmission and not tear it up.
Yeah, I mean, just trying not to work it to death.
And it won't heat it up. You're just throwing it.
Right.
Normally driving around like we do with 35, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour pulling a trailer, whether it be a boat or a regular mm-hmm. trailer of some sort, then if you get it where it's going into overdrive and stay in there and those RPMs dropping off, it puts it in, like you're saying, a lug mode.
Right.
When it goes to lug mode, it starts building temperature.
Right. That converter's slipping a little more. It just, the motor's not running like it should. It's not efficient.
Right.
Yeah.
All the above.
Which the things I was doing with the shifter and pulling it down and not letting it shift till later on is what it's doing with the tow haul mode.
Right.
You know,
that's the same thing. Yeah.
It's changing the torque management in the motor. It's doing a lot of other things.
Well, so, a lot of people aren't as knowledgeable to be able to listen to the motor and tell where it's at and what it's doing, if it's lugging or not, you know?
Right, right. And, you know, I have an advantage because, you know, that's what I do. Yeah, so it's...
You are one.
Yeah, I are one. Yeah, but it, you know, you can listen to it and know when to let it go ahead and shift. And, you know, it does its best, most efficient job. Like I said, I rarely had problems with transmission. I'm not going to say never, but... you know, I pulled a lot, and my old truck very rarely run around without a trailer hook to it.
Right, it sure did.
So
right.
It's, you know, I put a bunch of miles on that truck with overdrive, pulling the trailer in a race car all over, and, you know, did a good job, really did. But anyway, you know, all it's doing is trying to keep the motor running at its peak efficiency, plus the transmission trying to keep it cool
mm-hmm.
and not stress it to a point to where it's an issue. Yeah.
Well, that being said, do we have transmission coolers on every vehicle now? I mean,
well, everything has a transmission cooler. The ones with the tow packages and heavy duty cooling systems have a separate, additional cooler.
All right.
So you have to be careful. They all have some kind of cooler on them. But the advantage nowadays, where you know, if I wanted to know how hot my transmission was getting, I either had to wait for it to overheat and start spitting fluid out and catch on fire, or I could, you know, spend the money and put a manual gauge, you know, into the pan and all and wire it up. Nowadays, all you got to do is push a couple buttons on your steering wheel and it pulls up the transmission temperature on the dash.
So, when did they start that?
They started that probably going on about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And so it's most of them nowadays you can pull up the transmission temperature.
What is a reasonable temperature?
Well, the hot message comes on if it gets up above, I think, 270 or 280.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where, but somewhere in that general area. It's going to run somewhere close to where your coolant temp is running.
That's well, okay. Yeah. All right.
Because it's using the radiator to cool,
right?
Unless
you have an exterior,
right? And then it's going to use it
cool it.
To cool, and then it's going to cool it a little bit more through the external cooler,
right?
So I mean, they're all a little different, but they're going to run normally somewhere in the 180 to 220 range.
What is the detrimental temperature that people need to be worried about?
You don't need to let it go over about 250 ish, you know. Because at that point you're right on the verge of being in that hot mode, and it can start degrading fluid and that kind of thing.
It starts building the temperature in the transmission and the torque converter, but that temperature starts breaking down the fluid. Is that where we at?
It starts changing the qualities in the fluid. It's just like when you're,
believe they call it.
Yeah, if you run your car hot, one with a oil life monitor. If it runs hot, I don't care if you just changed it yesterday. It's going to tell you it's time to change oil again.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So it does that because it degrades the
fluids. The fluids. Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, thank God for the synthetics because it will stand a little bit more temperature. But the synthetics, the transmission fluid are they 100% synthetics now?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much all of our fluids. I mean, we have some that's not. The DEC 6 isn't, but it's partially.
That's the only reason they're taking that 212 or above temperature.
Right.
Synthetics.
And, most of our 8-speeds and 9-speeds and all that, they're full synthetics.
All right. All right. But,
I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. It's like I say, I know we talked about racing a lot, but hey, we like racing.
Well, that's all right.
Okay.
We're going
to show. We'll talk about it if we want to.
We're going to try to. Yeah, that's right. And we're paying the bills, our supplier.
Right.
But we'll hope to maybe next week have a little bit of information about Mobile International Speedway and see where they're at. I understand they had to make some changes. We want to get in on the ground floor, and to all of our first responders and our veterans out there, hoorah! No, man, my starter won't start. Woo, you know it won't start sometime.
Uh-huh.
I love that song.
You know my starter won't start in the morning. You know my motor won't even turn.